Obviously, beginning a new year, I always spend some time praying and reading and looking at what would be good to help people grow. I know that each one of us in is gathering this morning will be at a different point on our journey. Some may just be starting, some may have not even started, some may have been down the road on that journey for many years. And so I was kind of asking God, well, what do you want me to teach, to share, to encourage? And I felt very clearly, God said to me this, help people find Jesus in his word. Help people find Jesus in his word. I have got lots of electronic stuff. I'm a bit of an iPad and Apple fan, but I still like my old Bible. And I'm proud to say this morning, this is the best-selling book year on year worldwide. It's the bestseller. Diocletian, who I don't know personally because he was a first century Caesar, struck a coin to say he had destroyed the last Bible. I think he was mistaken. I was very pleased to find that in a communist country, after Gorbachev's period ended, what had been a Russian organization to try and get rid of as many Bibles as they could was closed down and rented by the British and Foreign Bible Society. And so I want to tell you, I believe in this word. I believe it's changed my life, and I believe it will change yours. So if I can do anything this morning, it's to help you to find Jesus in his word. I come from a background where when you became a Christian, you did not give, or were give, not given a lot of help. I had a tremendous experience of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, and my life was transformed, and I came back to a local church where I lived, and the advice I was given is, come to church, read your Bible, and pray. And that might sound, you know, a bit simplistic, but I began to do that and had some good counsel from one or two people that just said, you'll find everything you need in the Bible. It's actually the bread of life, a title given to Jesus. But also his word is food for our souls, for our minds. It not only helps us spiritually, but actually it helps us very practically. I can honestly say, except for paying my mortgage, which I never defaulted on, I believe knowing what God's will is on money has helped me never to be in debt. And that's a big problem today for many people. I'm not judging anyone. I'm just saying I'm thankful that someone showed me. My wife is sat here after 43 years. Smile, dear. She's doing that because she says, I can't believe I'm still here. Long service, man. But I am thankful that when we got married, we made this word part of our commitment to our married life. Because the Bible says an awful lot about how you should love your wife, how you should treat your wife, and how she should respond to you. And I believe because of that, it's helped us to be 43 years happily married. I believe it's been helpful. One of my daughters is here today. Well, she's out with kids, I don't know. But it's clear, no, I can see her. She knows that in our home, my three daughters, it was this book that helped us to get through teenage years, to get through problems, difficulties. and what to do when we get sick and what to do when we have any other problems arise in our lives, they would know, and I hope we've put that DNA into their lives, that the Bible has become the foundation of our lives. And so I'm so pleased for its instruction. But one of the things that I'm a little aware of today is this, that and I'm going to better put a PowerPoint on, or so I'll never get anywhere. So here we go. So I want to share with you that one of the most wonderful things that I have found in having time in my Bible every day is that the person that changed my life, I have found out so much more about him in the Scripture, in the Bible. And so I want to, but I don't know how long, there's 66 books, it could be a long time. But I want to help us to look at Scripture and to find Christ. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians. He said, you know, I want to know him. And I have looked and sought that. How do I find God? How do I find Christ? How do I really? Because as a Christian, I believe that he's alive. And that therefore I want my life to know him and him to know me. So the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. But also, Jesus himself said these words. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him. Everything, is his words again, everything must be fulfilled about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Luke 24:44. And the Apostle Paul says, I want to preach nothing but Christ and him crucified. Some other scriptures there you can look up if you want to. Also John chapter 5 verse 39, I believe it is, where Jesus actually says to the religious people of the day, you're looking into the Torah, to the Old Testament scriptures, and he said, you think that by looking at them, you'll find eternal life, but it's those very scriptures that speak about him who gives eternal life. So I want to encourage people in their reading of the Bible this year. We went through that last year. How many people successfully finished their Bible last year? Well, should take stand up and take a bow, really, shouldn't you? Yeah? And a few others that I know in our other churches did it as well. But it wasn't sort of something that they found always easy. I had comments like, please pray for me desperately this week. I'm about to dive into Ezekiel. And obviously, there are many things in the Bible that are not easy always to be understood and require study, require understanding. But I do believe that if I can just start off with something today, that I'll begin to put into your life. It doesn't, listen, I would advise anybody to actually just begin to read the Bible, not just for your own personal life, but actually to get to know Jesus better. And if that's something that's on your heart, I mean, Billy Connolly, the comedian, he said, I've not had much time for the church, but I wouldn't have followed that man Jesus if he was here today. And so it is worthy of all of us to find out and know Christ better than we do. And so my journey with you today is to hopefully start that off a little bit this year. Let me press on. Christ is seen in the Old Testament as much as the New Testament. One of the things today is that many Christians spend a lot of time in the New Testament. So do I. But I want to tell you, I believe the Bible speaks about the whole counsel of God. And that God has as much to say to us and about Christ in the Old Testament as the New Testament. But if we're honest, we might pick out certain parts of the Old Testament. I mean, who doesn't love the Psalms? I mean, if you're feeling down, pick up the Psalms. You'll be lifted. You'll be encouraged if you're a Christian. I believe we should come to the Bible and we should be reading it to not only get instruction about how to be a Christian, but as I say, how to know Christ, because the Bible is what's called Christocentric. He's in there if we look for him, if we search for him. So we must come to the Bible not just looking for things for ourselves, because that can be dangerous. I remember hearing a story about a young Christian in Yorkshire, and someone said to him, well, just open your Bible and God will speak to you. Thing is, it didn't work very well for him. Because what he did, he opened his Bible and smacked his finger right on a verse and read it. And it said, and Judas went and hanged himself. Can't be that one. So he flipped over the page and did it again and looked down and it said, go and do thou likewise. That's not the way we'll learn about God, find God, or find the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we'll read it and look and ask God as we read it, that the Holy Spirit will reveal Christ to us, we'll find that the Bible, as we read it, each story, has more than one dimension to it. And often, as we'll see this morning, it's speaking about Jesus Christ. There's always the immediate context in which you read the Bible. You're reading a story and there's an immediate application in the story and information to your mind. But also, because God has revealed himself in his word, there is what we call revelation. That means there are things there that are not always so easily obvious. So the Bible has Christ. As a picture, a greater picture in every story, and it offers more than just moral and devotional truth. Can I say to you that actually one of the things in the Christian church I find so often is that many people tell me, well, the Old Testament was law and the New Testament is grace. But I want to tell you that grace has always been in the heart of God. Someone said this, grace is not some kind of surprise jack-in-the-box that pops up at Christ's nativity. God has always, since the dawn of creation, being giving strength to the weak, rest to the weary, deliverance to the disobedient, faithfulness to the unfaithful, food to the hungry, salvation to sinners. He's helped heroes that failed, patriarchs that lied, kings that failed, prophets that cowered, disciples who doubted, and his own covenant people, Israel, who became idolaters. God has shown us right throughout history that to deal with me and you, he has great grace. So when we come to the scripture, we've not got something that this is this and this is this, this doesn't matter and this does. It is all God's word. It is the same God. So we need to be able to come to that and find that there's more than just heroes, although we'll look at one in a minute. It reveals God's great theme, which goes right back to the beginning, of saving us and reconciling us into a relationship with him. There's so much religion surrounding church today. But can I just say, that is God's main thought, God's main desire and intention. From the moment Adam sinned, God, in Genesis 3:15, said, I found a way already to bring you back to me. And the rest of the Bible is the unfurling of that wonderful purpose. So, from creation, through what we call the fall of Adam and Eve, through redemption, which are words that not everybody understands, it just means that God's found a way to buy you back, to pay a price for you. And that word salvation, which means for his life, his Zoe life, his eternal life, to be restored to man as he gave it in the beginning. And all the way through, that points to Jesus Christ. And here's the amazing thing, that actually, that's so profound and yet so simple. A man was speaking in Speaker's Corner, and a Muslim guy said, "How do you know Jesus is alive?" And he said, "Because I was talking to him this morning." And that's the wonderful truth, that when we look and find Jesus in the Bible, it confirms all that God has done for us in him. And yet we know him each day. And we know he works and performs things, wonderful things in our life. Now, this multi-layered truth that I'm speaking about, we could actually say then that his story, I've gone one too quick, I beg your pardon. Is that the right one? What is there? There you go. The Bible then is this great picture of human history. And the Old Testament offers us a view of Jesus Christ in there. And every promise of God is seen in there. To you, through history, it was to Israel, to mankind. So when somebody made that very thoughtful statement that his story truly is his story, it's true. Everything God has ever done has to reveal the kind of God that he is, the gracious, loving Father that he is, and to bring people of every generation to a knowledge of his salvation in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel that we preach and that we believe. But to do that, of course, we need to put some times on what we have called our redemptive reading glasses and look through the Jesus lens into the Bible. God's plan, announced at the dawn of creation, I've mentioned. And from that point, every story we see is a picture of God and his salvation. Wherever you look, you'll find the vast majority of the books. One or two might be a little bit more difficult to find when you go to books like Proverbs and others, but in the story and the history of Israel, all the way through, there is God's saving grace and plan and purpose for you and for me. So, it answers the great longing of something better that we look for in our lives. In the Alpha Course, one bit that always stuck in my mind when they quoted an eye, it was a Jewish newspaper commenter, and he said, although I'm not a Christian, he said, it's a fact that we go through life and there's this hole. And no matter how many TVs, no matter how many holidays in Lanzarote, no matter how many new things and gadgets we get, we can't seem to fill this hole, and it aches. The reason it aches is because God never intended us to live without Him. And I found, as many have here, that actually that aching is only fulfilled when we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So I just want to... which one am I going? Here we are. I want to come to Scripture and find Christ in there. And I want you to, this year, dive in there. And I'll pray that you'll begin to find Christ on every page. Because I don't know about you, I've found that as I'm getting older, probably got more life behind me than I have in front. But the good news about this message of the gospel is it doesn't end with death. And so I want to know what heaven's like. It's in the book. I want to know what God's planned. It's in the book. I want to know what happens to me when I die. It's in the book. Answers some of the greatest needs that humanity has. And so, I want to encourage the church this year just to dive in there so that you'll actually come to know all He has done for you and how much He loves you. Without Jesus, our message is not Christian. That's why He wants to reveal Him to you as you read the Bible. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher of the last, two centuries ago, he said this: "I have never yet found a text that had not got a road to Christ in it. And if I ever do find one that has not a road to Christ in it, I will make one. I will go over hedges and ditches, but I would get to the Master. For any sermon cannot do any good unless there is Christ in it." So, let me try and give you an illustration of that this morning. I'm sure we all know the story of David and Goliath. Has anybody never heard the story of David and Goliath? I'll run through it very quickly. Basically, it's a young boy, is that right? And he's been anointed by God to be king. And he goes to the battleground. And they're all terrified, the ranks of Israel, about fighting a giant called Goliath. And he says, "I'm not afraid." Goes out with his sling and 5 stones. Against this great 7-foot, nearly 8-foot giant. And he says, "You come with all your armor and strength. I come to you in the name of the living God." And he fires his sling, hits him right in the eye, or in the head, center of the eyes. He dies. Pretty gruesome. The Bible's very honest. He chops his head off. And the enemy is defeated. You all know that story? I can remember, anybody remember songs from Sunday school? Yeah, I can. "Only a Boy Called David." "Only a Rippling Brook." See all this stuff that they do on the morning here. It's nothing new. I think it's all trendy. We did it 50 years ago. Right? "Only a Boy Called David." "Only a Rippling Brook." "Only a Boy Called David." 5 little stones he took. And 1 little stone went in the sling. And the sling went round and round. And then it went on for ages, going round and round and round and round and round, till he got weary of it, you know what I mean? Round and round and round. 1 little stone went, and the giant came tumbling. And then it all jumped up in the air and came bang down. Nothing new under the sun. But what I'm trying to show to you this morning is, when we begin to look into those stories, we can just see them at a level where we find some application for ourselves. So we can say, the teaching out of this is that David was courageous. And even though you're a gibbering wreck. You have to be like David. And have courage. Thankfully, we don't say more than that, like, Steve, please go home and learn how to use a sling. Yeah? And we kind of take scripture and make it apply to ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that when we try to do that. But, very clearly, there's some deeper things I want us to see this morning. Just to encourage you and whet your appetite to start to ask God to reveal Christ in Scripture to you. So, there's the context around the great person of David. We've just talked about that. David's probably greatest king. Well, some argue that it could be Solomon, but I think it's probably David. And then there's this bigger picture that reveals Jesus Christ, who hasn't even come on the scene yet. But he's God's eternal Son, and he's coming into this world. And then every plan of salvation, every little story in the Old Testament actually mentions me and you somewhere in some way. So, how does it do that? Well, story of courage, yes. Defeating giants. Don't know about you, but when I remember first sort of looking at that as a young fella, I thought, well, I don't know, I've not met many giants. But then I did think about one that I'd actually met when I played rugby for Rotherham Colts. And I met this guy from Castleford on their front row, who was about 7'5" and built, as we say in Yorkshire, like a brick privy. And when he ran at me, I simply bounced off him. And I didn't particularly feel that I wanted to be a giant killer. And there's a truth in that, because in actual fact, I'm not sure that the Bible says every one of us are going to be like David. Because what we find our help in is that we have Christ. And he's the one who'll kill our giants. Yeah? So, here we are. Look at the story a bit deeper. Was there a people oppressed? Yeah, the army was really gone. The main man had gone AWOL. Saul was a failure. And in defeat, like his men were. They were not supposed to be like that. But they had this powerful enemy. But somehow, in Israel's history, they knew, even though they didn't live it or apply it, that God kept his promises. So what does God do? He raises up a savior, a deliverer. He's an ordinary kind of bloke, not what you'd expect. But God had anointed him with his spirit. Trouble was, those around him didn't really like him. His own brothers rejected him. You know what? He goes into the wilderness and he goes onto the battleground. And the enemy that has faced them 40 days and 40 nights, the enemy who in the Hebrew language is wearing snake armor, he faces the enemy on his own. He does it on the behalf of many who are weak and cowering and fearful. He had a surprise weapon, but he defeated the enemy and he crushed his head. And the victory was experienced and shared by everybody. See, that's more than just an understanding of the story of David killing a giant. So while I'm asking you to look and pray as you read your Bibles, let me go through that again. Is there anything else we can see? I want to tell you today that God came to help the people who were oppressed. God is our Savior. The problem is, many of us have gone AWOL. All we like sheep, the Bible says, have gone astray. We're all a bit like Saul. We want the glamour, but we know in our temperament and character, we've got lots of problems. The Bible calls it sin. Sin thinking that we can do it without God. Not what we're supposed to be. The Bible's very clear. It says, the way God made us, we no longer like it. We've all gone our own way. We've all failed. The problem is, when we put our tellies on and when we watch our news in the world in which we live, we look and we, if we're honest, we feel pretty hopeless. In fact, if I was to identify with anybody in that story, it wouldn't be David. It would be actually one of the cowering soldiers who was scared to go out and fight. And that's the truth of it, because we have this powerful enemy that we can't seem to overcome. The Apostle Paul said the same. But the things we want to do, we don't do. The things that we should do, we make a mess of it. And sin and this powerful enemy, Satan, comes against us and messes up everything. Believe me, I've traveled around the world. Our world is in a mess because of sin, because of evil. And this powerful enemy, we can't defeat him on our own. But I'm here to tell you this morning that in this story, it tells us that God keeps his promises. So though he does want you to have courage, you can never do. You can never do what the deliverer could do. See, David was raised up by God. Jesus is God's son. When you read that story, what you're finding there is David's just an ordinary guy. In fact, he writes a whole section in the Bible and says, "What am I that you've picked me?" But when Jesus came, it's God's one and only son, to end all the salvations, to end all the rescue plans, to do it all, he said, finally, God says, what I said in Genesis, what I said right back in the beginning, that I was going to deal with sin and deal with man's dilemma and failure, I'm now finally and fully going to bring that deliverer. Do you know what? When he came, the Bible says, Isaiah says this, there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. He wasn't a megastar. He wouldn't have been on Dancer or X Factor. He wouldn't have been one of these celebs. There's no beauty. He just grew up in the backwoods of Nazareth and worked with his father and a carpenter. But he was and is the Son of God. And because of that, because he went and God anointed him with the Holy Spirit, and even though he was rejected by his own people, it says he came to his own and his own did not receive him. Still he came. And just as David prefigured what would happen, Jesus himself went onto the battlefield. He went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Just as it mentions with Goliath. And he faced an enemy who was a snake. The Bible calls the devil the old serpent. And Jesus wouldn't bow to what he wanted. Jesus says, no, I've come for a purpose. I've come to fulfill everything. I've become a man so I can save men. I've become a man so I can save humanity. So what happened? He faced that enemy on his own because we couldn't help him. Is anybody here can save the world? To the kids today, Ruth's little lad, Steve's little lad, came with his mask still on, painted on his face today. Because it looked like Batman or Superman or somebody had been playing. From Messy Church, was it? Really, yeah. Remind me to have a look at Messy Church's curriculum. Because actually, there's only one person who actually can do that on our behalf. And he has to qualify by not being evil, not having sin himself. And that was the great and wonderful thing, that Jesus didn't have a sling. He went to a cross. And on that cross, he died for you and me and said, it's finished. All of those things in the Old Testament have now been fulfilled forever. The great news is that means that God can come and rescue you today. God can come and change your life today, just as he did me and many other people here. He's the Savior. He did it not on his own behalf, for himself, but for those who are weak, those who feel life's not good, those who know that there's got to be another factor in this life and why we're here. But he went to the cross and he died, but he surprised Satan. I guess Goliath was a bit surprised when David pulled a sling out. But you know what? Satan was even more surprised that after 3 days, Jesus came out of the grave. And he rose from death, which the Bible tells us everybody all through their life, fearful of dying, fearful of what's going to happen. Jesus says, no, this was my Father's plan right back in the beginning. That men who know God can have eternal life. Men who know God can be forgiven of their sin. I love that scripture in Corinthians that says this. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. So Jesus did all that and defeated the Goliath of sin and death. Where am I going? I'm nearly finished. The Bible says that David chopped his head off. No, the Bible says of Jesus, he crushed the serpent's head. He defeated Satan and sin. And that victory that was won by Jesus, he shares with everybody who will believe on him. Wow. So, that's something in the story of David where you can find Christ. I want you to open your Old Testament this week and pray and say, will you show me Christ in the stories I'm reading? Because I want to tell you, although we know it in the New Testament, Jesus is there in the Old Testament. In fact, I haven't got time to read it all out, but listen. In Genesis, he's creator. In Exodus, he's Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's high priest. In Numbers, he's the water in the desert. In Deuteronomy, he becomes the curse. In Joshua, he's the commander. In Judges, he's the deliverer. In Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. Wow. Every book shows you Jesus. If you want to know him better this year, I want to encourage you. If you haven't got a Bible, we'll give you one. Have we got some? Praise God. Said that once and said we ain't got any yet, they haven't come. But listen, friends. You are in every story because you are part of God's creation. And I'm so glad that he's done it all. There's no more saviors needed. No more sacrifices needed. It is finished. You're in this story. And every story, whether it's David or Goliath, or any one of those 66 books that I couldn't have the time to read out, he's in there shouting at you that God has kept his word, that Jesus has done it, and that when you believe it, you'll experience a new life, which we call eternal life. His story can become your story. How does it happen? Very simply. I come to God and believe that what he says is true. The Bible puts it like this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But I'm definitely closing. I'm giving you hope because I said I'm closing. But let me tell you, I'm not sure I'm ever going to be David. But I want to tell you this much. The Bible says, I'm not in David, but I'm in Christ. So for believers here today, when you do face giants, it's Jesus who can defeat them. Yeah? Not you, but Jesus Christ in you. Because our dependency is not in ourselves. Our dependency is in what he's done for us. Paul puts it like this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that's why I want you to dive into the Bible this year. Not just looking for a little word, three ways to become this, 4 points to do that better. Dive into the Bible and find Jesus. Dive into the Bible and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about him. Because when you find him, you'll find what you need. You'll find the strength. You'll find the victory. You'll find the help for your life. Shall we just pray? I'm serious about that. If you haven't got a Bible, we will give you one. Because we want people to know that you can find God, you can find Jesus Christ, his Son, when you look into his Word. I'll give you an illustration this morning through a story that many knew. But you'll find that you'll just read one line sometimes, and you don't know why, but it's speaking to you. That's because God's in his Word. Yeah. Numerous times in my life when I've said, I don't know what to do about this. And I've opened the Bible, and God has spoke to me. There's so many people out there looking for direction. I'm so glad that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Heavenly Father, this morning, this might not be the normal kind of Sunday morning message, but I want to ask you today to give people a hunger to find Christ in your Word. More than just an understanding of what it can do for us, but just so that we can get to know him better. Just so that we are convinced and know with assurance all he's done for us. For any here today, Lord, that have not started that journey yet, have not found God, not opened their lives to him, they've got that hole that they're stuffed with so many other things that only you can fill. I pray, Lord, today that you will begin to draw them to yourself. Holy Spirit, will you please do what you promised you'd do? Reveal Jesus to them. That he can be all he says he is to their lives. And I pray for us as believers that we'll not just find, Lord, teaching outside of Christ's help. Lord, it's only in you that I can accomplish all that I need to do. Only in you can I be the person you've called me to be. Help us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.